Have everyone's attention. Hello and welcome. Thank you for coming. My name is Colin Rinesmith. I'm the president of the Action Coalition for Media Education here in Boston. It's the Boston chapter of the Action Coalition for Media Education. ACME Boston is an all-volunteer media education and public interest advocacy organization working to connect media education with civic engagement. We're here today in Boston, joining thousands across the country, from San Francisco to Chicago to New York, part of the SaveAccess.org coalition to protest the telephone companies AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon. We are outraged by the tactics of the major telephone companies to pass national video franchising legislation in Congress. The telcos are spending $1 million a week to buy votes of Congress people for their legislation. House Bill 5252 and Senate Bill 2686. And on advertising to influence public opinion using AstroTurf groups to distort the issues. The proposed legislation before Congress will curb local control over video franchises in our public rights of way, negatively impacting thousands of local public educational and government access channels across the country. This legislation is proposed to also allow for discrimination against low-income and rural communities and jeopardize the openness of the internet by removing net neutrality provisions, which is designed to promote competition, innovation, and free speech on the internet. Today we'll hear from speakers who will tell you more about these issues and why Congress must either vote to protect communities here in Massachusetts from income and access discrimination to video, voice, and internet services, or vote no. First, we'll hear from Joe Dalton, the district director for Congressman Ed Markey's office. Congressman Markey has shown the courage as a true leader in our Congress to represent the interests of people in Massachusetts and across the country. Joe Dalton.
Thank you, Colin, so much. As he mentioned, my name is Joe Dalton. I am district director to Congressman Ed Markey, and I have here a statement from Congressman Markey, so please consider this from him. Good afternoon. I want to begin by thanking members of the coalition for calling this press conference to draw attention to the fact that communications policy is being turned on its head right now in Congress. It is my pleasure to join with members of the Massachusetts Legislature, the Boston City Council, municipal officials from throughout the state, the CWA, and countless other community groups and activists who are on the front lines fighting for franchise fairness and net neutrality. I regret I could not be there in person this afternoon, but the U.S. House of Representatives is in session and voting in Washington, D.C. today and for the balance of the week. As ranking Democrat on the House Telecommunications and Internet Subcommittee, I fought to improve the COPE Act, but those improvements were rejected largely on party line votes in committee. I am now very much opposed to this legislation. The COPE Act represents a dramatic departure from historic communications policy goals of universal service, localism, and diversity. It abandons universal service in a way that will result in higher cable rates for certain customers, shoddy service quality, or outright withdrawal of cable service. It undermines localism in the delivery of cable service and resolution of disputes. It overturns a decade of forward-thinking policies fostering broadband networks and a hands-off treatment of the internet by blessing the broadband designs of network operators at the expense of innovators, entrepreneurs, and individual citizens. The proposed bill permits a national franchise for cable service, grants multi-billion dollar companies access to public rights of way, yet has no service area requirement for providing cable service. By failing to include a build-out provision to ensure service area parity between a Bell company entering a franchise area and the incumbent cable operator, it allows a national franchisee to use public rights of way in a community but serve only select neighborhoods within that community. Now, getting access to a community's public rights of way without any obligation to serve the whole community, that's a sweetheart deal for phone companies, but it's a raw deal for the neighborhoods that will be skipped over or ignored. Also at stake in this debate is the fate of the internet as we know it. I offered in committee and will again be offering during debate on the House floor a network neutrality amendment to preserve the internet and its open, non-discriminatory nature. Since the subcommittee vote, dozens of web blogs have started talking about this issue. A broad coalition has launched web campaigns such as www.savetheinternet.com and www.don'tmesswiththenet.com. These coalitions are diverse and growing hourly. They include leading internet companies, as well as entrepreneurs, small business, consumer groups, and thousands of concerned citizens. I welcome the support of the internet community in our legislative efforts. The internet is endangered because of the misguided provisions of the COPE Act, which put at grave risk the internet as an engine of innovation, job creation, and economic growth. The bill permits the imposition of new fees or broadband bottleneck taxes for internet sites to access high bandwidth consumers. This will stifle openness, endanger our global competitiveness, and warp the web into a tiered internet of bandwidth haves and have-nots. When Congress votes on net neutrality, it will either vote to preserve the internet as we know it, or instead vote to fundamentally and detrimentally alter it. This bill is bad for consumers, bad for communities, and bad for citizens of the internet. I encourage everyone here to make your voices heard. If you value universal service, localism, and diversity in the cable world, and if you want to preserve the internet as we know it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe Dalton from Congressman Ed Markey's office. District office. Next, we're going to hear from Janet Gillespie, who's the coordinator, the program coordinator for community change here in Boston, to hear a little bit more about the lack of build-out provision in these bills that will indeed discriminate against low-income and rural communities. Janet Gillespie.
Thank you, Colin. It's very good to see you all here. I'm glad that there's so much interest in protesting and this legislation that is so detrimental to our communities. If passed in their current form, these two bills, House Bill 5252 and Senate Bill 2686, have the dangerous potential to practice redlining or discrimination against low-income communities, rural communities, and communities of color. In order to lay their cables, telephone companies tear up our public rights of way, our streets, and our sidewalks. The bills under consideration would allow phone companies to dig up the streets and sidewalks of low-income neighborhoods in order to lay cable going to more affluent communities, and at the same time, provide no service to the neighborhoods they disrupt. In this way, these bills would allow phone companies to cherry-pick middle and high-income urban neighborhoods for cable service. Low-income rural neighborhoods and communities of color could be forced to give over their public rights of way to the phone companies for installation of cables going to a more affluent neighborhood. Thank you. In return, they would receive no cable service at all. They would be redlined. A build-out requirement, if added to these bills, would legally oblige phone companies to treat all neighborhoods equally and to provide cable service to all. But there is no build-out requirement in these bills as they stand for consideration by the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. Under current legislation, the phone companies are free to engage legally in cherry-picking communities they wish to serve while practicing discrimination and redlining against low-income and rural communities. Unless Congress gets serious about protecting low-income communities from discrimination, we strongly urge them to vote no to House Bill 5252 and Senate Bill 2686. Please contact your senators and representatives and tell them how you feel. contact information for Senators Kerry and Kennedy and for all the U.S. Massachusetts representatives is available on our handout table. It's right over there. So pick it up, contact your elected officials, and tell them how you feel about this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet Gillespie from Community Change. To hear a little bit more about the threats to the internet, we're glad, we're excited to have David Eisenberg, a member of the Save the Internet Coalition, coalition of individuals, groups across the country who are standing up to say no to the internet, to the ways that the internet is threatened under this legislation. We'd like to welcome David Eisenberg, who's a fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. David?
Thank you. I'm going to be very brief here. You have my cheat sheet in your packet. I'm going to make 4 points in response to telephone company propaganda in support of the current bad bills going through Congress. One, the telephone companies say, we don't need a new law. Well, network neutrality is not a new law. The telephone companies have been working for a decade to get network neutrality provisions repealed. The FCC and the Supreme Court recently have repealed made decisions that effectively repeal network neutrality, and Congress, especially Representative Markey, Congress is trying to restore network neutrality. Two, telephone companies say that we need fast lanes on the internet to give new modern services, but Internet 2, which is the United States' strongest, most visible network research effort, has shown over the last decade that we don't need fast lanes, that all the services we want can be delivered on a non-discriminatory internet. Three, the telephone companies say we have competition and a robust marketplace, and that takes the place of regulation. Well, we don't have competition. 94% of Americans have zero broadband providers, one broadband provider, or two broadband providers. And finally, the telephone companies say, trust us. Trust us. We don't need new laws. We've given you the internet. You can trust us. Well, they're collaborating with the National Security Agency. They haven't said, hey, come back with the warrant. How can we trust them? They've engaged in a two-decade-long campaign of going to state houses and saying, we'll bring you broadband services if you'll only give us tax breaks and rate relief. But $200 billion worth of tax breaks and rate relief later, we are number 16 or number 20 in nations in broadband service penetration and falling. The telephone companies have stolen our broadband future. We should not trust them. My contact information is on here. There's much more information at freepress.org and savetheinternet.com. Thank you.
Hey, that was David Eisenberg, the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School, part of the Save the Internet Coalition. We're next going to hear from Hiram Scott, president of the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group, an advocacy organization in support of public access television. And despite what many believe may or may not occur if these bills passed, the threats are real to public access, community media, in this country. Hiram Scott from the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group.
First of all, I would like to thank everybody that is here. Your presence is a clear indication of your concern in regards to this very dangerous legislation that is currently pending in Washington, D.C. And your presence also lets your elected officials know that they're being watched in regards to how they're going to vote on this legislation. I would first like to start off by saying that as the president of the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group and as a part of this great coalition of concerned citizens and organizations, I felt the need, I felt compelled to be a part of this coalition and what it represents, and also to let you know of my concern regarding this issue, the Koch bill. As many of you know, this bill has the real potential of drastically changing the way we send, receive, and disseminate information. We understand the impact this legislation will have on the internet and neighborhoods across our country. At this point, though, I would like to address the impact the Koch bill will have on public access television. I am a public access producer and have come to love and to enjoy what I do in that capacity. This is why this bill troubles me, because I understand the importance of public access television and the role it plays in our community. Public access television has provided me with a real sense of empowerment, with an ability to talk back to the community, to share what's on my mind, and others to share what's on their mind. This sense of empowerment is one of the important things that the Koch bill threatens to take away. It threatens to silence those ideas, beliefs, and ways of thinking that are not always heard in our mainstream society. The Koch bill is no less than a challenge to our First Amendment rights to be heard in an open society. It is, in its current form, an affront to the principles of democracy. This bill does not promote free speech and expression, but instead seeks ways to limit it by setting up internet toll booths and national franchises. The Koch bill is no less than a challenge to our First Amendment rights to be heard in an open society. Excuse me. This bill places access television stations in serious jeopardy, as well as public access producers. Those of us who create the programming for our access channels. Our legislators will soon be considering a bill that will move local control of public access to the federal level. This is not good. Such a move would undoubtedly result in many access stations having to go off the air, which means less voices will be heard in the public forum. For the many thousands of access producers across this country, the loss of access to the airwaves will impact them immeasurably. The loss of having our voices heard is a loss that is too great to be passively accepted or tolerated. We must fight this bill until it is defeated. We must let our elected officials in Washington know that they have more to lose if they let this bill pass. They will lose our respect and our confidence in their ability to lead independently of corporate interests, to make choices and decisions that are in the best interest of the people. Therefore, we are asking Congress to consider to continue to provide funding for public access television, which includes the educational and municipal channels, or to vote no on House Bill 5252 and Senate Bill 2686, both of which are bad medicine for a healthy democracy. Thank you.
Thank you, Hiram Scott from the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group. And last, before we move on to any questions that people may have in the audience, we're going to hear from Steve Early from the Communications Workers of America, District 1. Steve Early.
CWA is the largest telephone workers union in the country, represents about 8,000 workers in Massachusetts, many of whom work at AT&T, Verizon, and Singular. I'm very happy to be here today to support this effort to win stronger pro-labor and consumer regulation of the telecom industry, and particularly our dear friends at those telecom giants. We definitely need more rather than less regulation, and certainly not the blank check of national video franchising. Several of the previous speakers have mentioned this problem of access discrimination, how it's emerging as an issue of great concern to people in lower-income inner-city neighborhoods who are definitely not at the top of the list of communities that are going to be served by Verizon's rollout of its fiber-to-the-home broadband network upgrades. In fact, they're at the bottom of the list of the communities that are going to get the benefit of that new technology in Massachusetts. We learned from the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago that telecom redlining also has a rural aspect to it. Verizon has announced that it's trying to sell off its local access lines, 1.6 million in all of Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire. They've decided that they are going to abandon what they call the low-value customers in these rural areas in northern New England, and a great detriment to telecom workers' jobs, the future of quality service in those states, the concept of universal service, and the future of regional economies. They're basically going to sell off their phone operations if they can find a buyer, make $2 to $3 billion from the sale, and plow that money back into their broadband expansion in higher-income communities serving high-value customers. This is their vision of the future. It is two-tier, and it will leave us, both as workers and consumers, on the wrong side of the digital divide. That's why we have to unite together, as this coalition is doing here today, to fight them at the state level, to fight them at the local level, and to fight them in Congress around this legislation that we're here today to oppose. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve Early, Communications Workers, District 1. We're happy to take any questions that there may be in the audience. And for any of the speakers that you've heard from today or myself, if I can try to see through the lights, we can see if there are actually any hands raised or there might just be crickets, but yes. Can you please state where you're from and your name, please? Did everybody hear that? The question was, what are we looking at for the timeline, essentially, with these bills? How fast are we moving along here? I'm not sure if we...
specifically what the... I mean, generally speaking, it's X number of months from the time of enactment, so...
Okay. Did you want to speak to that, or did you want... Okay. Well, I'm... I can
find out.
Okay. Well, the Markey's office, we can answer that. I know that tomorrow, actually, there's another hearing in the Senate for the Senate version of the bill. The COPE bill is in the House, and the Senate version that we've been also hearing about today, which are very similar, but the Senate version is much bigger, contains more issues, but also addresses the same issues that we've been discussing here. Again, the public access, the network neutrality, and the redlining that we believe is going to occur. In terms of a timeline, as we understand it, there's a hearing tomorrow in the Senate, and then it's going to be moved to early June when Congress resumes from the Memorial Day vacation. And they've been very serious about trying to get this bill through both the House and the Senate as quickly as possible. We've seen the House bill has been held up by the Judiciary Committee over concerns about network neutrality, because we've seen groups speaking out all across the country. The Save the Internet Coalition with MoveOn.org has been very, very successful helping to slow these bills down, and that's what you're seeing right now. And so I think that what we're going to be seeing in the beginning of June is things are going to be picking up quite quickly in the Senate. And the time is now for folks to know that this is going on. And that's why we're all here today. Sure. Right. The question was, how can folks get involved in this? If they care about these issues, if you care about the internet, if you care about community media, if you care about local control over the public rights of ways in these video franchise process, saveaccess.org is a one-stop shop where you can find out more about all of this information we're talking about. It has the bills that you can download, links to each of the bills. If people want to read them, they're there. They can see what we're talking about, saveaccess.org. And you can also get involved. There's an easy email form which you can fill out your name and your information, and that will send it to your elected representatives. And we're asking people to do that today. That's why we're here. We're asking people to do that right now. And also at savetheinternet.com, as we mentioned, David Eisenberg and other groups are a part of this effort. Savetheinternet.com is also a great way to get involved in this network neutrality issue, and so we can preserve a free and open internet for the future. The question was for folks who are interested in getting involved here in Boston with Acme Boston and the other organizations in this coalition, and I would urge people to go to acmeboston.org, which is acmeboston.org, and there's an email address there that you can write to us and tell us if you're interested in getting involved and how you would like to join us in this effort and join groups across the country, really, with what we're doing here today. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah, is there an opportunity for amending for any of these bills?
Sure. As part of the legislative process, amendments will be raised. Mr. Markey has offered amendments at the committee level. He intends to offer similar amendments at the when the bill comes up for vote in the House, and similar activity will be taking place in the Senate as well. I can check on that for you if you want to. I'll try to speak to you after.
Okay. Is there somebody from the Alliance that wanted to answer to the public access question? Keith, here from...
Yeah, my name is Keith Tebow. I'm from Fall River Community Television, and I'm the chair of the Northeast Region of the Alliance for Community Media. Just to get back to your question, the way that COPE is currently constituted... Once a second provider like a Verizon comes into your community, the incumbent cable provider can opt to go into that national franchise model. So, in effect, yes, those contracts may end up being null and void if they decide to do so. They may also choose to stay through the local franchising process if they wish. But once a competitor like Verizon comes into your community, under the current COPE bill, that allows the incumbent provider to switch licensing, if you will, from the local franchise to a national franchise.
We also just wanted to have David Eisenberg say a quick word about the legislative process, since I know this is a very important question. So, David, did you want to address that?
Okay. Yes. Briefly, the House bill, if the House passes anything and the Senate passes anything, the scenario is they go into a joint conference, which is held in secret and probably will be held in the lame duck session after the 2006 midterm election. The outcome of that is likely to be very ugly. We should stop the COPE bill in the House. We should stop the telecom bill in the Senate. And keep this from going to conference. Amendments, schmamendments. The conference committee is going to decide what this bill actually says, and that's what we have to stop.
We have another question. We have a few more questions. Sorry, it's hard to see up here. Somebody wants to, you can start talking, and maybe I can see you if there are, in fact, questions. Okay, we have. We're just going to have another comment about from Public Access. From come on up, Mauro DiPasquale from WCCA TV.
Yeah, I just want to make this comment. I'm here to encourage awareness and urgency, and it's up to you to take that message through your public access channels, through groups like Save the Internet, your bloggers, your podcasters. Basically, public access, your public, educational, and government channels will not survive without local franchise support, which we are dependent upon, made possible through the current telecom and cable laws and regulations. So we must mandate do not harm clause conditions and terms to support public access and for net neutrality. Protection and support must be sustained, guaranteed, and irrevocable to save our PEG channels, operations, and net neutrality. So this is important. The message is up to you. You are the mechanism. You have to, we're putting up a wall of shame on our public access internet website. We're going to, if our leaders aren't doing anything or if they are doing something, we're going to put the name up. We're going to put the information up. You have to do the same thing. And you have to tell your friends across the country to do the same thing. And it's very urgent. Right now, Verizon has a petition at the Department of Telecommunication and Energy right here in Boston. They want to move into Massachusetts. We got to stop that. We got to stop it all right now. And it's up to you to take that message. Don't wait for others to do it for you. You have to do it. We're taking up our step, and we hope you do it too. And thank you to all these people for joining us. Thank you.
So I want to thank you all for being here. We're a proud coalition here today, joining thousands, literally thousands, in cities all across the country. You're going to be hearing more about this story. This is not over. This is the beginning of more actions. As much as we have to do until Congress either fixes these bills or we're going to vote, or we're going to put the pressure on to stop them. So we thank everyone for being here today. We're happy to take more questions. But thank you to all the speakers that are here, and thank you to all you. Take action today at SaveAccess.org. Thank you.
Very good. Yeah.